Nobody said it would be easy.
But it's still the greatest way. It's still the greatest way. It isn't like everybody else is having a joy ride. There were three crosses on the hill. Not God was crucified, the sinner was crucified, and the saved was crucified. You're going to get it. One way or another, you're going to get it. So you might just as well be on the right cross. Yes?
Something was on my heart to say in this evening, and I was kind of either picking or I wasn't completed, so I didn't say it. And now I've heard it confirmed and completed four times now, so I guess I'll say it and get the first half. Something you said in this morning's sermon reminded me, it started me in the fiction. Last week I was reading, I was bringing in, I might as well have been. And I came across the words of a great Presbyterian minister who said, and this is quite recently, I've forgotten where it is, but if God doesn't punish America, we'll have to apologize for Sodom and Gomorrah. And that really gets to you. When you think about that for a minute,
it's
very, very true.
Yeah, that's right.
And then the second thing I was reading was a quote about a pastor, minister, quite a few years ago in the 1860s, who was studying the treatment of the Indians, which, as you know, even from a little bit of TV watching, we did not treat them very well, but how badly we treated them was really astounding. And we had no people in the Babylonians were better than the Israelites than we were, these Indians, many of them were peaceable. And this minister said, God will surely punish this nation for what they have done to the Indians. And while I'm reading these things, I'm listening to news about the communists, so-called communists, charging into Afghanistan, and suddenly it struck me that this is how we treated the Indians. The bewildered way that our government has reacted to so-called communism is the same way the Indian tribes were treated in front of a lying United States government. And the broken trees and the murder of the innocents that went on. And so this is what is awaiting this nation. And the second half, and that's why they didn't say it, and the second half, of course, is that Nineveh repented.
Yes, I believe, saints. I truly believe that trouble is coming. You know I believe that. I've preached it consistently since I've been here. But I also think I have it from the Lord that it is not to our destruction. That is not that. I believe that one time it was, and I was in Fremont at the time, and I was seeking the Lord, and it seemed like the Lord said to me, or impressed my mind, it's been very consistent, it's been confirmed several times to my spirit. I just give it to you as a believer that I believe it's the Lord, that yes, we are going to face trouble. But you see, America has done some other things. America has fed the hungry of the world. World War I, when in Russia, we kept, under Hoover, we kept the Russians alive. We kept them alive. And ever since, America has been generous. And according to the scripture, he who helps the poor puts God in his debt. He makes himself a friend of God. And America has done that. We have fed the hungry. Also, we have been a center of world missions. We have preached the gospel. And, of course, our forefathers strove for righteous conduct to a certain extent, more or less. And many, many people in our country have been godly. And I'm not making up stuff now or drawing historical conclusions. Those are facts. But what the Spirit is laying on my heart, yes, trouble is coming, but it is not unto destruction. In other words, the result is not going to be. See, there's a difference between tribulation and wrath. Tribulation is redeeming. It helps you. It's a spanking, like when your father spanks you. He doesn't spank you to break your pelvis, to render you incapable of walking. If he does, he's thick. Your father spanks you, it hurts. Sure it hurts. But he does it for your correction. Wrath. Wrath is non-redemptive. It does no good. There's no redemption in wrath. Wrath comes on the devil. Wrath comes on those who hate God. And all that wrath does is destroy. And there's a vast difference between wrath and tribulation. We must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. And as we read this morning, as many as I love, I rebuke. Now when the Lord rebukes you, he just doesn't say naughty, naughty. I mean, he rebukes you all over. Body, soul, and spirit, circumstances, environment, and everything. And you know you've done been rebuked. As many as I love, if God loves you and you're close to God, then you're heading for trouble. Now you say, you're crazy, you're a wild man. No, no, I'm telling you the God's truth. And the closer you are to God, the more trouble you're going to have. You know why? It has to do with God's love. You see, now you picture yourself as a parent. Okay. You go into a situation with your kids. Let's say you go to a school doings of some kind, a public school, and they're all running crazy and drinking and smoking. You know what you do? You single out your children and you bring them around you and you say, "You shall not do it." And your little Harry or Jesse or whoever it may be, get smart, and if you're a good parent, you won't put up with it. You won't curry favor with the group and say, "Now you should be nice and everything." You'll yank on their lead rope till they get the message, until they stop it. Or you're just a modern parent with no principle and succumbing to group pressure. Doesn't matter what people think. It matters what's right. Whether it puts a wet blanket on the party or not. But you don't do that to other people's kids. Right? Let Mother Bear take care of her cubs. Unless you just enjoy trouble. Unless you just enjoy endless excuses where the truth gets lost somewhere. Leave Mother Bear alone with her cubs. You make sure yours are doing what they're supposed to. And that's the way God does. Judgment begins in the household of God. It does not begin with the sinner. It begins in the sanctuary. It begins with those who are closest to God. When God envisions trouble coming, he yanks on his kids, those who are crying unto him, and God says, uh-oh, there's trouble coming, and they're not ready, and I'm going to make them ready, and he yanks on your lead rope. He causes your environment to crumble, and also wherever you go, the presence of the Lord goes among your loved ones, and you will not bring a trail of glory. You'll bring a trail of trouble. And that is God's love. If you don't believe me, start living for God and watch the effect on the people around you. This will go wrong, that will go wrong, next thing. That is not wrath. That is tribulation. Tribulation works patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now you say, "But will it never end?" Not for a long while. Because you don't learn patience in 2 days of problem. You learn it when you pass from dilemma to dilemma to dilemma to dilemma, and when the simplest things that ought to flow become a hopeless, complex mess, then you say, praise the Lord. I do thank you, Jesus, that you're on my case. Now, what fell on Sodom and Gomorrah, and our brother's right, you know, Jesus said that. He said, woe unto you, Chorazin. Woe unto you, Capernaum, because the men of Sodom will rise and condemn you. So that's scriptural. That's scriptural, see? That in the day of judgment, all nations will be brought up, and many will say, why, if we had ever had a tenth of what you had, we would have repented. And that's what the Lord said. If the works had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah that had been done in you, they would have repented. Woe to you, Capernaum. Woe to you, Chorazin. You're exalted to heaven. You'll be brought down to hell. So that's vital. What would the Lord say if he walked the streets of America where there's a church on every corner? You know, if Capernaum had what you have, they would have repented. As you rise. So that's right. Let me point out something to you. What hit Sodom and Gomorrah was wrath. It was not tribulation. It didn't bring about one good thing for those people. It made them an eternal example to sinners. They became an example for those who live after the flesh. That's not tribulation. That's not God's kids. That's when God says, enough. God's kids were brought out by the angel because of the prayers of another. And they were destroyed. Now, the Spirit has been speaking to me, I believe, let the prophets judge. Yes, I think America's going to be attacked, personally. That's my opinion. I haven't said this to many people, but I just feel like saying it, so I'm saying it. You don't have to worry. Maybe I'm wrong. Hopefully I'm wrong. But the same Spirit that seemed, now I see through a glass darkly, I cannot always tell, but the same Spirit that seemed to say this was also seeming to say to me, it will not be to your destruction. You will recover. There will be tremendous problems, but there will be revival. And you that have been here with me for 4 years, remember, I've said the same thing. I have never changed. God has said there's going to be revival and tribulation at the same time. And everyone in America... And God is angry with the dirt in our country. He's angry with the uncleanness. And everyone who will repent, God will protect. 1,000 shall fall at your side. You're going to see the reward of the wicked. You're not going to be hidden where you won't see it. You're going to see the blood. You're going to see men being swept like men just down a sewer. Just Holocaust, if I'm getting it correct from the Spirit. So brace yourself, because God will give you grace in that hour, and you're going to go through, and you're going to go through triumphantly. And that's why God is dealing with us, not because he's going to destroy us. If God were going to destroy us, he would have never brought a message to us. He said, go on in your prosperity. Okay? You don't waste time. You don't waste time when you're getting ready to destroy something. You don't go down there and carefully nurture and cherish and work with those people. You don't do that. See? You just give them their rope until their iniquity has come to the full. That's what God said to Abraham concerning the Amorites. He said, I'm going to give you this land, but I'm not going to give it to you for 400 years because the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. But I'm going to send your seed down into Egypt, and after 400 years, I'm going to bring them out, because then these people, their sin will be right. Now, God, as far as I know, as far as the Bible says, didn't send one prophet to the Amorites. Not one. He went to his chosen. And he gave them Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and he gave them dreams. He gave them instruction. He taught them. And then when he saw the famine coming, he sent Joseph and made him a deliverer. Always his eye was on his people. Always his eye was on his people. But the Amorites were without witness. God said, is it okay? God said, in 400 years, we say, wow, you know, that's 1.5 times the age of the United States, twice the age of the United States. That's a long time from Abraham to the Exodus. But God said, I'm going to bring them out when their iniquity is full, when their iniquity is full. And when their iniquity was full, God did not send them a prophet or anything. He sent them a sword and destruction. You say, oh, what kind of a God is that? Watch your tongue. See, we've got to learn that God's ways are not democratic. They're not answerable to our judgment. They are not to be criticized. They are to be learned and obeyed devoutly. Praise the Lord. If God says it, we say, yes, sir, amen. That's the most righteous and holy thing we ever heard in our life. We've got to learn that, saints, because we don't forget, we've got 200 or 300 or 400 years of the rights of men that have been pumped into us in history, in the public school. We don't realize how deeply this democratic Laodicean thing has gripped us. But we're willing to take God to turn. We're willing to say, you won't do it, it's not right. You see how that's in us? God did that with the Amorites. And God will not be answerable to us. You remember what he said to Job? You want to argue with God? Okay. All right, just tighten up your belt and hold on. I'm going to ask you a few questions. Where were you when I created this whole thing? Come on, Job. If you've got anything to say, say it now. A few chapters of that kind of talk. And Job got the point. He said, I repent in dust and ashes. I don't know anything at all. Where were you when I set up the Pleiades and the constellations? Where were you when I said to the ocean, you can go this far and no further? Where were you, Job? Job says, I wasn't. My father Adam was still the dirt in the ground. God says, well, get the point, young fella. You don't know anything. You know what Paul said when discussing predestination? He said, who are you that replies against God? See, there's no answer. You got to figure it out and say, well, this is that and that, and bend the word of God like a pretzel till it comes out humanistic and democratic. He says, God is the potter. We are the clay. God did not send redemption to Sodom. He reserves the right to do what he will. He did not send any warning to the Amorites. He just let them sin. He doesn't authorize sin. He can't be tempted, and he tempts no man. Every one of those people will be judged fairly and equitably at the great white throne judgment. Every human being. The sea will get up its dead. Death will give up its dead. Hell will get. Every man will have his day in court. And if he walked by his own lights, now here I depart from traditional doctrine, so love it or hate it. If you walk, as Paul said, by your own lights, by what you had, and I'm not saying we can be saved by sincerity. I'm not saying that. It's a different concept. Their conscience, the meanwhile, accusing or excusing them, every man will be judged fairly. If his name is written in the book of life, he'll be brought in the New Jerusalem. If not, he will be destroyed. So we know that there is righteousness with God. But when it comes to dealing with nations, God has a certain way of dealing. He deals with nations. And God will pick and choose whom he will warn, who are his children, whom he will save. We can't say anything about it. Now, you and I are here because our names are written in heaven. That's why we're here. We didn't do anything, Andy. We didn't deserve it. We're no better than some poor guy in Sodom that got up in the morning and went out there's a big agricultural centers, big centers in their day, Sodom and Gomorrah. Today they're under the eastern end of the Dead Sea, they say.
But some poor guy got up, went out, walked behind his oxen, plowed, went in at noon, had his lunch, went out. You and I are no better than him, see? We're no better. Why are we born? Election? Foreknowledge. Now, America, the Spirit seems to be speaking to me, God is going to bring us to our knees. We're proud, we're educated beyond our intelligence, and we're dirty. We've got our skirts dirty. We need a big humbling, but it is not going to be a humbling to destruction. It is going to be that all of us in this room, and some of us may end up in foreign fields, and I can't say who will be where or when, except that I have a clear witness in my spirit that everyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And those in America who refuse and rebel will be destroyed, just destroyed. And we're going to see, I believe, carnage. We're going to see economic upheaval. But listen, God can save by many or by few. And in the days to come, and I would suggest, learn all of the Bible that you can. Memorize it. Get as much in you as you can. Take advantage of every moment today. Because God's people are beginning to speak as ministers with a single voice. You notice it. You'll see it. Every day there's a new one coming up, writing and saying the same thing. Have you noticed that? You can read it in the new wine. You can read it in the new books coming out. You can read it wherever you want to. God is speaking to people from a wide variety of backgrounds, saying that many are prophesying of war within 4 years. I haven't said anything about it because I felt that was just a personal revelation. But I noticed other people, McKeever's coming out with it, and Gary North is coming out with it, and all the rest of it are coming out bold as brass. But God has given me a clear witness, I believe, that we are going to throw off the attack, if it comes as I envision it. It's going to cost a great deal, but our enemy will be cast off to go elsewhere, and God will use that. We may become a second or third or fourth class power from now till the Lord comes. It doesn't matter. America's an upstart, you know, among the nations. Some of the historic nations may rise. I don't know about that. I'm not interested in geopolitics. I'm only interested in you and me and those that we can help and bless and God's will. And God seems to be saying to me, He will take care of us, He will shield us, and we will be a blessing to many if we will do His will. See? Now, God has given us scriptures that are mighty protection. Mighty protection. See? You abide under the shadow of the Most High. Maybe we better look at that. Honestly, it wouldn't hurt us to look at this a great deal. Psalms 91. Now, you know, the English, in World War II, used to sleep with this under their pillows. They had this printed up. I had one, as I remember. I had a New Testament with a bulletproof cover. Yeah, it was kept in my best pocket right here. You have one of those in the war? Yeah, it was right here. That was fashionable in those days. Yeah, really. And people would carry around the 91st Psalm, almost like a FedEx. Did you have one, Hank, in the war, one of those New Testament with a steel cover?
No.
That you kept right here in your best pocket. Well, it was a comfort. Yeah. That's right. People were a lot simpler then in these days. They thought they had something going there. I had one of those where I was a Christian. And our little card with the 91st Psalm. And look what it said. Now, this is independent. Independent, absolutely independent of our environment. It works willy-nilly to the person who believes it, who dwells in it. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. That is to say, you have to live there. And how do you live there? Praying, obeying the Lord. And all of us have heard today, and I think probably some decisions have been made. It's sinking in, saints. It's sinking into all of us. We can't just continue in the traditional way of bet more promotions, more money, and pass that value to our children. We have come into a change. And we're to take our assets and use them as God directs. As God directs. Not give all your money to the church and God will give you $1,000. No, no, those days are gone forever. It says God directs you to be a steward. You're a steward. You're entrusted with material assets. And how you use them and what you do with them, God will hold you accountable in the day of judgment. And I'm not saying give it here or there because I don't know. But I'm saying no longer is it an accepted value among us that we sock it away and we give it to our kids and they perpetuate a materialistic way of life. That is over. That's over for the Bersiagas. They had it made. They had it made. If they had stayed in the telephone company, in the position that they had, up in Fremont, nice house, bills paid. No, no, the Dillingers and the Bersiagas are living together. That's not all that much fun, do you know that? It's good, and people get together as Christians, we know, but that's not our, that's not the American dream. The four adults with five children, you know, live in the same house, share the same bathrooms. That's not the greatest. And Paul, with his background and his ability and the jobs he had, if he'd have stayed in Fremont, he'd be sitting pretty now. He'd have $30,000, $50,000, $75,000 stocked away, a bond program. He used to work for Fairchild. He had a stock program, options, all kinds of things. Well, these two families have made a choice, and it's costing them. It's costing them today. The Dillingers can't go back home. The toilet doesn't work. They can't go home. That's because they have chosen. Now, you know, David went up on Mount Moriah to stay the plague, and he said to the guy that owned the threshing floor, he said, I will buy of you your threshing floor. I have to offer an offering unto the Lord. This was a wealthy man owned that section of the country. And the fellow said to the king, he said, no, no, my Lord, I give it to you. Here's the land, here's the wood, here's the animal. It's an honor. David said, I will weigh out the coin. I will not offer unto God that which cost me nothing. I knew a fella who had a brain like a financial wizard. I mean, this man, you couldn't follow the convolutions of his thinking. He sold insurance and did other things. This man actually had a scheme whereby he paid tithes to the church and it cost him absolutely nothing. It was so intricate, I couldn't follow it. I couldn't follow his thinking, but he did it. Some way, he worked insurance in such a way that by insuring the pastor... Yeah, he had it worked out, and he could show you. This fellow had paid his tithes out of his own business, and it didn't cost him a nickel. It didn't cost him a nickel. Now, I ask you a question. What? How did God regard this? See? He fulfilled the letter of the law. But he didn't pay any tithes to God. He didn't pay any tithes to God. He paid 10% of his income to God, but he didn't pay any tithes to God. Anything, the purpose of tithing is to share, is to turn back to God a portion and an act of fellowship and trust that God has given you and you are sharing. This man, in my opinion, missed the point. You know, when you give, you don't give to the church, you give to God. If you don't have that right in your mind, get it right, because you may get gross disappointed in the church. You always walk away from the work of God. Do you know that? If God were to call Audrey and me away, we wouldn't think twice about that. Anybody owed us a nickel. Nobody owes us a thing. What you give to God. You don't give to people. You give to God. We walked away from the Rawhide School if we did. Well, yeah, I have no regrets. What we gave to God. And God will reward us. We're not looking at man. And I know you feel the same way. Well, this man paid no tithes to God. In all of his smartness, he only outsmarted himself. See? I will not offer to God that which cost me nothing. Now, you can't martyr yourself. And you can't torture yourself. That's not right. Be as happy as you can. Be as happy as you can. Don't get morose. God isn't getting any pleasure out of your being down in the dumps. It's the joy of the Lord that's our strength. See? And if you're down, God will say, well, you know, nobody's asking you for a thing. What are you doing? Who are you trying to help up? See? There's nothing there. It isn't abusing yourself to try to earn a spiritual merit point like St. Simon Stylites. That's not right. Neither is it to con the situation till you got all the thing going right, but it is costing you nothing. Follow the Lord. Now, I use the Dillingers and the Bursiagas as example to embarrass them half to death. They didn't set out to say, I'm going to see how hard I can make my life. They said, the value of teaching children and working in God's kingdom is greater than the American way of life, and we think it's a higher value. And I remember when Manny come down, Manny is interested in his family, his children. That's number one in this line. Number one. And he said, it isn't enough that I give them the money. It's more than that. Somehow we've got to pull this act together. And God has answered his prayer in an outstanding way. Paul has got his act together. He knows what he's doing. But it's costing these people. See? Material day to day in February 1980, not of their desire to not be happy, but because they're going the way. Now, all of us are not called. You're not called to leave everything and change your job. That's why I say, no man takes this honor unto himself, it says concerning the priesthood. You can't take this honor unto yourself. You can't martyr yourself. You can't quit your job and do some foolish thing because God won't bless you. He'll say, what are you doing? Go back to your job. Nobody asked you to quit your job. See? You can't take things. God spoke to Manning. He spoke to Manning. He can tell you what God said when God spoke to him. Told him what, didn't tell him exactly what to do, but told him the general tenor of what he was to do. You can't just walk off presumptuously. I don't know if God spoke to Paul or not, so I can't speak to that point. But I know, as far as Audrey and me, I know what God told us to do. I couldn't just quit and do some stunt and enter into the ministry because I thought it was a good idea. God called. When we started the school, God called us. That thing has been a headache you cannot believe. Every June, I think I'm going to lose my wife. Last June, Audrey was so weak from the burden, she was walking down the street and collapsed in the middle of the street, just fell in the dirt. Right. Because she didn't have strength enough to stand. Mr. Chown picked her up. See, there's other ways to spend your life. But God spoke to us, and I can take you to the room in the house on Jerome where God said, start a school. It cost us something. But there's so much joy that comes along the way, you don't even think about it. And I'm sure that was true of David. But I'm trying to get across the spiritual principle that God today, it is not business as usual. In fact, if you follow the business as usual route, and the Lord deals with you and you do not respond, then your way will become thorny. And you will be distressed, and you will come into middle and older age, and you'll feel, you know, I was at a fork in the road, and I took the wrong one, and now I am reaping, and I'm going to be a 60-fold, and I could have been a 100-fold. And we face these very real alternatives. And I think our church today is at a fork in the road. I believe that. I don't know all that the future holds. I think we're moving slowly, cautiously, and conservatively, but we are moving, and we mean business. And so the scripture no longer to us is a thing you hear in church, and isn't it nice, and read responsibly. This is our life. And we believe it. And we don't hurt ourselves. We do wisely. We do prudently. But we do, back in our mind, the business as usual is gone, and we expect, and I expect, and pray that many members of this congregation, not just their children only, and I think that's tremendous, that's the right value to give our kids. The highest calling in the world is a missionary. That's right. That's great. But you and I are not dead yet. See? And that work in Chile is not going to be done by any youngsters. That's going to be done by a mature couple that won't make a whole bunch of mistakes and work and wreck the work of God. And some of us have got the maturity and the years of experience and the acumen and the steadiness to go as missionaries. And your children won't have that for another 20 years. So what I'm saying is, hold the world. Be prudent. Be good stewards. Good stewards. We have to be prudent and think of what we're doing. Be good stewards with what God has given you. The best you can. It says, in business, be sharp. Be diligent. Lay on it. You know, a fool and his money are soon parted. That's right. That's right. Somebody sharp and you will take it away from you. So use the brains that God gave you, but hold it lightly. Lightly. See? And just keep in mind, God's will today is for people to learn the message of the kingdom and today and to take it. And when you get up in the morning and say, oh God, maybe today is the day when you will say to me and my husband or me and my wife, I have chosen you. Because you see, you've got the maturity to go and not botch a thing, but to make it go. So, it's a point of view, saints. And that's what God is asking that we change. Not that we make radical and foolish moves that will regret a fit of religious enthusiasm, but so we will address ourselves to the fact that we are not in the stream of make money, retire, go to Florida. That's dead, as far as we're concerned. What we do day by day as pilgrims and strangers. And we imbue our children with that. We get our children around us. We are pilgrims and strangers. We are people of the Lord. We are not people of the world. We are different. And if God calls us, we do like John's friend. What's his name, John, the civil engineer? Ken Barrett, see? 40 years old, civil engineer, he's got it made, his own house, everything. Where is he now? Going from pillar to post? Because he went to the Wycliffe, and after a year, looked to me like some little inner politics, whatever was the reason, I don't know. But there's a good man. He's got it right. It cost him something. I will not offer unto God that which cost me nothing. And when God calls for it, saints, be ready. Be ready. Hold your life. And if you know, now I asked this morning, if you're ready to die for the Lord, put your hand up. And I said it quickly, and you know, people here are sincere. They're sincere. And about half the hands went up. See? If you are in the place where God wants you, you don't even think twice. Because you see, God looks down, and what he says is, they're still weighing the advantages of obeying the king. See that? If you can't do it, pray tonight that God will help you. The next time we say that, your hand flops up. There is no shadow. You say, but what if I'm scared? Let me ask you something. If judgment comes, as everybody tells us it is coming, are you going to be given a choice? See, you know, if the communists come into this country, are they going to say, now we won't do anything in case you're scared? So the thing to do is, while your knees are knocking till they sound like castanets, is say, I'm not scared. Or I am, and I'm going to do it anyway. Because we're not going to have all these options. Anyway, we're going to go one way or another. And what God is saying to us is, here's your strength, get ready for it. And when it comes, you'll make a success, and you'll be able to take many people with you. And if you don't, you'll be as helpless as they are, because you push the panic button, every script you ever knew will fly out of your mind, you'll just be in trembling. God wants you conquerors. To abide in the shadow of the Almighty, I will say to the Lord, my refuge. Well, who needs a refuge in America? But we will one day. David knew it. He'd hidden from Saul. My fortress, my God in whom I trust, for it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper. And the snares in the land today, snares. That are deceitfully hidden, and the unwary walk into them, and the first thing you know, your feet are over your head. And you would have never fallen into it if you had prayed. You never would have fallen into it if you had prayed. But walking around with your head on this business investment and that thing and this plan and that, and let me plan 2 years ahead, I'm going to have my vacation starting January 17th, and we're going to go here, and all that nonsense that the Bible teaches us against. Says, what is your life? It's a vapor. You go on all of a sudden, whoop, and there goes the snare, and your feet are over your head. And you say, what happened? Well, what happened was you didn't pray. How about through? Don't give up. And from the deadly pestilence, he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark, and saints, God's faithfulness will never change. Remember that. I don't care how it looks. He will not change. We're behind barbed wire, whatever it may come, God knows. It will be no different than it is tonight. It will be there to do the impossible and to provide your needs just like today. Doesn't change his faithfulness. You will not be afraid. See, fear is the enemy. Fear is our problem. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Now, you're not up in heaven on a balcony. You're here, and they're around you. But you're under that shadow. You're under that protection. God can do it. It's where it says so. You have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Not money, not anything except God. All right. No evil will befall you. No evil of any kind whatsoever. No evil will befall you. And look at this. Nor will any plague come near your tent. That's your family, your tent. In other words, you will be safe and harmless in that time, and your family will be safe and harmless if you will abide in the Lord. It shall not come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge. concerning you. In other words, God and Christ will say to the mighty angels that can do anything and protect anything and anyone under any circumstances and create food and do all kinds of things, God will call out your name. He will say to certain angels, Doug Bellamy, this man and his family, he is serving me, he is trusting in me, you see to it that nothing harms him. He shall give his angels charge. By name, you will be called, if you do the Lord's will. It's all invisible, but it's more real than the visible. To guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands. There may be times when there's floods, when there's whatever there may be. The angels will pick you up if they have to and carry you. If it becomes necessary, they will carry you. Like they did Philip. They will bear you up in their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Now, we're not worried about striking our foot against a stone. We're worried about bankruptcy, no bread, and dire things. But what God is saying here is the care will be down to even inconveniences. Stumble. That precious. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. Now, this is the impossible. In other words, you will be so full of victory. The young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. You know, Jesus in John 17 said, I have given unto them your name, or I have revealed unto them your name. To know the name of God, to know the nature of God, requires seeking. You don't get it in a minute. To know His name, not just Yahweh, but to know God. He has known my name. God in the Old Testament revealed Himself in attributes. The Lord that delivers, the Lord that nourishes, the Lord that heals, and all these other things. But behind all of these many aspects and attributes, there is a name. And it isn't the name, it's the person. Who he is. Not just his deeds and aspects of his attributes, but him. He will know me. Know me. Not a dialogue. God, if you give me $500, I'll give you $100. Not a dialogue. He will know me. Not just my formulas, but me. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him with a long life. I will satisfy him and let him behold my salvation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jesus. Lord, you have spoken to us in this church so many times. Hallelujah. And Lord, we know that it is your love that is speaking to us. We know, Lord, that tribulation is coming. We know it. We're not afraid of it whatsoever, Lord. We'd be more afraid that it wouldn't come, lest we go astray, Lord. Lest we live our lives in selfishness and short-sightedness. Lord, I, speaking for myself, would rather be under your hand of chastisement, Lord, than to miss the riches of the kingdom. Hallelujah, Lord. And I think we all feel the same way. Now, Lord, we know the needs worldwide for physical food, for spiritual food, are so great, we can't even think about it. It boggles our mind, Lord. It's like trying to drain the ocean. We just impossible. We can't do it, Lord. So God, we're not going to live under a cloud of condemnation. We're just going to say, Lord, we're going to obey you. We're going to make you number one. We're going to give ourselves each morning, each day, to the thing at hand. And Lord, we're not going to be bound by the things of this world. We simply are not going to do it. We ask you, Lord, to release us and remove from us any material circumstance, whatever, that is hindering us. And grant, Lord, that our relationship to you may be so strong, so powerful, so clear, so pure, Lord, that we are ready to lay down our lives, to die as gain, to live as Christ, and we are yours. Now, God, you're asking for his total sincerity, and we are asking, we are giving to you total sincerity. You are asking for us our all, and we are giving you our all. And Lord, we know we will receive your all. Praise your wonderful name, Lord. And we stand in the 91st Psalm. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Amen. Let's lift up our voices in prayer for our country. Hallelujah. Father God. Father God. God, a land, Lord, that is fair, that is blessed from coast to coast, from border to border. Hallelujah, Lord. Help us, help us, help us. My God, as we dwell, is such a wonderful place, Lord. God, a land that God has blessed. A land that has worshipped and served God, Lord. It was settled by people giving their lives for God, for the kingdom of God. That they might worship. Hallelujah. We remember our beginnings, Lord. We remember. Lord, we know that today, God, our land is safe, that are against thy holy word. Jesus, you said to us, Lord, you will humble us. Pray. Seek your face. Turn from our wicked ways. You will hear from heaven. You will forgive our sins.
Lord.
You will heal our lives. Oh God, we're not everybody, but we're somebody. And we are Americans, Lord. And you didn't say it took everybody. God, we want to serve you. We repent. We repent on behalf of the whole country. We cry humbly and say, Lord, yes, we have sinned against you. We have not appreciated you. We have not appreciated the abundance of food, the abundance of all things. So God, we have turned everyone to his own way. Now, Lord, we're crying unto you for mercy. Lord, that we as individuals might be pressed into the cross of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord, that his suffering might be our suffering. That God, that we could serve you, Lord, with a perfect heart and do your will. Lord, we cry unto thee for our nation, for our president and Congress. The many, many men and women, Lord, who are overseas, Lord, in the defense of their country. Right or wrong, Lord, whether they are serving you or not, it is still one country. Lord, we do pray, we thank God for America. We thank God for the things that you have given us. For the people that have gone before us, we praise your name, Lord. Righteous men. Righteous men. Righteous women. Many of them. Who have done right in my sight. Lord, we know.
today we are approaching the payoff for decades, loosely. We're approaching the payoff. And I'm not sure, Lord, we can stop what's coming, or if it would even be good to stop. But we do pray, Lord, that so many today will turn to you, Lord. Will turn. I'm ashamed, Lord, I'm ashamed of what is coming out of our country via television into other countries that is tearing them down and destroying them. I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed. And I pray it will stop. I pray you will stop it, Lord, because it's a cancer in our country. It's a cancer.
Lord.
We do not ask that we might continue, Lord, in our galleries, but that we might be brought to the God of heaven. Grant, Lord, that our president and the Congress and all churches in this country will repent. That you will do what is necessary to bring us to our knees, Lord. And that when we come to our knees, Lord, that instead of turning against God, we will turn toward God.
Yes.
And the national fiber, Lord, will be restored. And a sense of pride and of godliness and of integrity will be restored. And we'll be known once again as people that serve the Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Yes.
Grant it, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Grant it, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Lord, we know there's many nations tonight, Lord, that are just like America. That are waiting fearfully, going from day to day. And many tribes, Lord, over the face of the earth have never even heard the name of Jesus. In South America. In Africa,
Lord.
In the Polynesia, in Southeast Asia,
praise
places, Lord, that don't even know you whatsoever, not even in salvation. We know that that is our responsibility and no one else's. Now, dear Jesus, help us as individuals to be happy, healthy, joyous, vigorous, victorious, confident people. Hallelujah. God, you bear the burdens of the world. We can't bear them. But God, you can move in us and make us fruitful and productive, not to our own aggrandizement or accumulation of material things to destroy us and destroy our flesh and our spirit and our soul. Rather, Lord, that you might give us power and wisdom and victory that we can do something for our nation. Do something for our neighbors.
Yes, Lord.
Do something, God, for the people that don't know God. In every way, show ourselves to be mighty in the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. That we might not die, as the word said, but live under thy glory.
Lord.
And give. They march in the earth with a mighty tread.
Lord.
Confident, secure in God.
Lord.
And pass into eternity victoriously. Hallelujah. Without shame. Knowing that Christ was our God in life.
Yes.
And Christ is our God in the next life. And altogether victorious. Our Lord, you brought us to this point. In February of 1980. The past is over and done. What is done is done. And now, Lord, we face a new week. We pray, Lord, that this week will be the greatest week we've ever spent in the kingdom of God. We pray that everything we hear and everything we say and everything we do and everything that's done to us will be wrought in Jesus Christ. We pray that the devil will take a back seat.
Yes.
And that you will wall around this family in this church by the fire of God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That the angel of the Lord will be at every home. And that we will be a people set apart.
Lord.
And a covenant made by blood. Hallelujah. That we will be known as the Lord's people. In the earth and in heaven. That our relatives, everyone without exception, will be touched with the finger of God.
Oh,
and that their homes will be cleansed.
Yes.
And and touched, and the yoke will be broken. Hallelujah. And they will be the people of the Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Even as one was yanked out of office. Our relatives will be yanked out.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Andy Panter, who wrote this Express Iron. The depth of our love, her appreciation for the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you. We truly serve you. Father, as we know that I am mighty, we are mighty. Lord, the pilgrim's comfort.